Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes. Today we are continuing our interview with Jason Ramos. I didn't want to make it just one because it is so transformational that I wanted you to really hear it in two parts. So if you didn't listen to the first part, which was last week, make sure that you go back and listen to that because you won't understand today's if you don't listen to that. And I think there is so much goodness and such transformation. I mean, we talk about abuse. We talk about almost death. We talk about life in prison. We talk about gangs. We talk about how God has transformed a life that most people thought could never be transformed. And he did it. And now Jason, well, you're here. You're healed this week. What's going on with Jason in his life right now? So make sure you tune into last week and then get ready for the end part of Jason Ramos's transformational story today. So fast forward me, kind of, you continue to get to know Jesus. God like changes your life. And speed me up to kind of what you're doing now.
So came home, worked in a production plant for a little bit, then took a job, did some landscaping, and then did everything in between, whether it was sheetrock, concrete, roofing, to everything, to physician recruiting, to you name it, just a wide range of opportunities that God was getting. And then I was volunteering with Mercy House for about 5 years, and then I went on staff there and then transitioned to the director and directed this all together about 7 years.
Explain what Mercy House is.
Yeah, so Mercy House was a residential, 1 year residential men's recovery home. So we guys would come in, we bring men in who were addicted to whether it was drugs or alcohol that were seeking to be set free, and so we take them through a year long program. And not just about the addiction, but their whole life. And so help guys get restored to their families, just a holistic approach to when it comes to drug and alcohol recovery. So
you were reaching out to you the old Jason.
Guys that came into the home that I helped take through that years before, I had helped them get on, I guess there's a responsible part of my end for introducing them to drugs. And then years later, when I'm leading the Mercy House, these guys would come around and I helped them go through the program.
Just a whole full circle of, okay, wow. Okay, so you did that for a couple years. And what was the difference of you not getting back into that lifestyle? Was it community? Was it church? Obviously Jesus, but it would have been it's not like you moved. You were still in the same, place.
Yeah. So whenever I came home, it was Jesus, the relationship with him and taking off so I had faced a lot of disappointments in my life. I mean, I looked and I was like, man, there's so many boxes that I can check that were places that I got defeated, disappointed, let down, hurt, or I messed up in. So I had just this big box of mistakes and letdowns. Mm-hmm. And so, but when one, that was, I would tell people all the time, like one of the big things that God really set me free from was this place that I had to have this and I had to have that for my life to be okay. Cause whenever he took me to jail, not only did he set me free from the addiction, but he set me free from all that codependency, I guess you would call it as well. And so where I built this relationship with him. So when I came home, it was just this deep relationship with him, but now I got the opportunity to have these deep relationships with these people that I love again and work. I always desired, I wanted to be I wanted to be responsible. I wanted to be faithful. I wanted to be a dad, you know, all these things. And now it was like, here's the opportunity. And so I was given it, but it wasn't just to do it on my own. And so I went into those things knowing that I'm not here to just try to be a dad out of my own deal. Lord, help me to be the best dad that I can be. Lord, help me to be the best husband I can be. You know, help me to be the best employee that I can be. You know, like it was all out of this relationship with him and everything that I'm doing. So there's just this constant awareness of togetherness with Jesus. And so, but the church, like the community of believers, the people of God, and walking it out with discipleship and the life on life, living life on life with people mm-hmm. that love God, like not just going and seeing them on a Sunday, but like we were doing birthday parties together, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? We had barbecues, you know, we're just doing a lot of life together. And that was new. Like I didn't understand. I never saw that. And so, you know, seasons since that first part, then my wife and I, we started leading life group, and we've led life group now for 13 years. And so we've tried to do the same thing with a lot of people, is live life on life, walk through everyday life with people together, and journey through the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
I love it. So now you are the director of Impact Waco. So tell us what you, and I get to work with you every day. Tell sure. us what you do now and, you know, yeah, tell us what you do now.
Great. So Mercy House was one of the ministries in Impact Waco, along with another, a women's home that we had, our Stars book club, and some other ministries. And so now I, instead of leading the men's home, I'm leading the department that the ministries are in. And so all I get to do is come along some great people that are doing some great work, you know. But we have an awesome team. Our Stars team is amazing. But in Impact Waco, we have Stars Book Club. We have Men's Recovery, which we do a lot of discipleship with men who are in addiction and recovery, as well as groups. And then we do the same for women, discipleship in women's groups. Then we have our benevolence ministry. So all our giving that we're able to do throughout the community to those in need. We have our community outreach department. So all our outreach in the city, different, whether it's an event at the park or it's a church-wide event like we do around Christmas time, or you know, Mother's Day, kind of help spearhead all those events. Our jail ministry, we're having services in the jail every other Sunday. We're expanding that. So get to, you know, be a part of the pastoral team on that and help lead a team of people just reaching back into the jail and building relationships. And then our sports ministry, you know, we got a little league in town that we're kind of getting behind and coaching kids through that little league, building relationship with our community. And, you know, I don't think I'm missing Unbound's part of our Impact Waco team. And they've got a great team of people helping those that are trapped in trafficking and creating awareness. So if I was to shorten that up, I would just say just the opportunity to reach the city of Waco, engage the city of Waco through some great ministries that we have. And my role, I get to help provide some leadership for the directors and some vision and just see where God wants to take us and really dive deep into the city.
I've worked in several different churches, and one of the things I feel like I always do when we've moved 8 different places. We've been to a lot of different churches, and I've worked in a lot of different churches as a youth pastor back in the day. And some people don't even know who's listening to this. I work with Stars Book Clubs, which is who goes into some of the inner city schools, some of the worst schools, reading levels, and we bring mentors in to help them read at a certain level. But it's more than that. I mean, it's you're mentoring these kids who have really tough home lives, very similar to your home life. Yeah. And you know, these mentors might be the only safe space that they have that day. And I will say, I always go into a church and I, you know, yes, of course, worship is good, you know, matters and preaching and all those things. But the thing that matters to me most is, are they actually doing what they're saying that they're doing? So if they're saying that they really love people, are they actually loving people? Are they actually serving? And so I have to say, like with Impact Waco, and you lead that, you like, we are the hands and feet, and I get to be a part of that in Waco, like in the worst of the worst places, in the hardest to reach places, in the hopeless places. And so I love that. And I love that your story is I mean, it's like full circle. You are now getting to minister, to love, to serve, to bring hope and mercy to the person that you were, that you wish someone would have done to you years and years ago. Like, you get to do that. I mean, it's what I love about it. It's a complete transformation, and now you're getting to serve, you know, those who were just like you, and get to tell your story. One of the things that you and I talk about, and one of the things that you say that I love, when we talk about mercy and compassion and just loving on those who are different than us, who look, you know, look different than us, who have a different lifestyle than us, who might scare us a little bit to hang out, you know, to hang out with, is you know, we talked today, even when we were getting ready for this, about mercy. And you talk about how a lot of people, you know, like mercy, or they talk about having mercy, but they don't love mercy. And I wanted you to kind of just, if you have some time, just kind of like flesh that out, because I think that's what we talk about so much in our Be Loved, Do Good podcast, is like how to be compassionate, how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So talk a little bit about what we talked about kind of this morning.
Sure. So yeah, you know, there is a scripture that, you know, it's gets shared a lot. And it's Micah 6:8, you know, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so, you know, walking humbly with God does require that place to love mercy, because God is so merciful. You know, I think about my life, and I did, you know, I could say, yeah, you know, I was victim in a lot of things, but I did a lot of wrong too. You know, I did, and in my brokenness, but yet God had so much mercy and able to pull someone like me out of the pit and set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. And, you know, I'm like, wow. And then just seeing him do it for others. You know, I didn't mention earlier, we were talking, but my twin brother ended up getting set free. You know, he was in and out of prison. He's free now. He's actually going to have a baby next week. So he's got a great business that's thriving. My sister went to prison, got out of prison, went back to prison, got out of prison, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she's free now. And she works for Unbound, helping trafficking victims. My mom, after 25 years of being on meth, she heard my brother share his testimony one day. Actually, yesterday marked 5 years for her. She was in life group testifying about it. Like, she was excited. She said, today is my five-year birthday. You know, like, I cried out to Jesus. She heard John sharing his testimony about getting free, and she got free. And that was the last time she ever used any drugs, was
wow,
5 years ago on March 16th. So it's like, so that we were that family and all that brokenness, but God was merciful. And so Christy's question was like, when we talk about mercy, it's like, what does that actually mean to love it? That's a sacrifice. That's a requirement. It says the Lord requires this of you. But it's like, wow, to allow your heart to be taken to a place to where it's not, we have these limits. We have these level, these places where I'm like, this is the drawing line in the sand. I can't take no more after this. But to allow your heart to be taken to a place where God is able to take it to where you can love mercy. And it doesn't mean you let people run all over you. It doesn't mean that you just keep letting bad things happen that need to be stopped. Not at all. But is your heart moved? Like, we had a guy that, you know, tried to break into my niece's house last week, 2 weeks ago. And he went over there, and this guy was across the street. And then he took off in his truck, and he came back, and he pulled up in my niece's yard, rang the doorbell, and started kicking the door open. And my nephew's holding the door, and my niece is there with her kids, and this guy, he's all, you know, he's messed up. He's trying to break in the house, and he gets away with it. Long story, the police catch him down the road, and when they bring him back to identify, my niece identifies him, and I'm like, let's pray for him. You know, I know he tried to do this, but let's pray mm-hmm. over his life, because this guy is broken, like, and he needs it. And I know that we could only do that by the heart of God, because the initial is like, I'm so glad they caught him. Go pay for what you did. Right. You know, you're going to do this. Yes, people were in the wrong, right? I pray for people that are addicted to drugs, but I pray for the people that are bringing it in. I'm like, God, I know you love them. They just don't know it. Mm-hmm. You know, so let the light of Jesus shine through our lives every day. And when we let that light shine through by being a people who love, mercy, you know?
I think for you, because you experienced it in such a great, you know, a way that you can look at the person who, you know, is broken, but might be doing something that is a bad choice, because you know that person. But for some of us maybe who don't have the same testimony, and I'm using air quotes, or story, what is some advice that you would give? I mean, I think just even hearing your story and what God can do, you know, through his mercy for you, should obviously inspire us to be merciful to others. But how do we love others and, you know, give mercy to others out of him and not us? Like, how do we do that? Because like you said, our emotions are the one that's like, they need to be caught. They need to be, and not that, again, we're not saying like there shouldn't be justice. But it's that heart underneath that, that's like, oh, but they also are broken. They're also hurting. How do we tap into God's compassion versus our compassion?
Sure. So, I mean, there's stories in the Bible. If you want to read, there's always, you look at the Good Samaritan, you know, these were a couple of people, they were doing good things. They're probably on their way to church, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they were like, but they stepped over. They didn't have time. Mm-hmm. They didn't have space. I've got to get to this versus deal with this. And so I look at life for those that you can't see on me, I have a watch on my hand, and it's the kind that you have to wind. It doesn't have batteries. It's not an iWatch or Apple Watch, but every morning I got to get up and I wind that watch. But on the side of my watch, it has engraved Psalm 90:12, and that psalm says, so teach us the number of days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom, or that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So every morning I'm like winding my watch and asking the Lord, Lord, help me to make today count for eternity. Lord, help me live to it really matters. And so that means that the people that I encounter today, God, I want to be a light. I want to love people, God. I want to, so many times throughout the Bible, there's all these stories where Jesus is on his way somewhere, and then he gets, air quote, interrupted. Mm-hmm. You know? But it wasn't an interruption. It was a divine encounter, you know? And so I'm like a divine appointment that he had. And I'm like, man, like, I want to make room and space in my life today. And for us, like, for you that maybe you don't have, like, I don't have this testimony, I don't know, but my life is a good life right now, but it's full. Like, are you really making space in your life today to really live it and walk it as God has it planned and destined for you today? And so if so, then leave the space in there. Like, when the opportunity comes for you to be merciful, you have that decision and that choice to respond to the Lord. Because ultimately he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was prison, you came to visit me. Whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me.
I think you do that in a way that's like, you, every day you're looking. So I think for us who are so busy and so full of, with whatever we have going on, the next thing, that we're not looking. So every day you're intentionally looking for someone to literally shine Jesus's light on, not your light, but Jesus's light. And two, you're making space. I think that one's the hardest. And I think I've mentioned this before in our podcast that, you know, in John Mark Comer's book, Ruthless Elimination Hurry. You know, basically, like, that is our distraction, is because we're so hurried, we miss everybody. And, you know, I was telling you today, like, when I'm in a rush, like, even if my kids are in the car and we're in a rush to get somewhere, I bypass the homeless. I rush past them. I don't even look in their eyes. But when I'm not rushed, when I actually, you know, we're just chilling, getting in the car, that's when I see the person, we look at them in the eyes, my kids might talk to them, we might have a bag that we give them, like, whoever it is, that I'm seeing people. And I know the days that I'm seeing people, like, in their eyes, that I'm literally going, okay, I wonder what's going on in their heart, how can I be a light to them? And there are days and weeks that that doesn't cross my mind one time, because my life is so smash full of what I think is important or on to the next thing, that there's not 1 ounce of space in there for me to look into someone's eyes and say, ooh, how can I make your life better today? How can I shine Jesus on you?
Yeah. And so I can, you know, you look back and say, okay, this is how my pace was last year. These are all the things I've had going on last year. Is it what it's going to look like again this year? Or will it look different? You know, will it look different? Will I make space for that to be different this year. So, well, hey, Christy, I know you had a lot of time. I know we can do another part. We can keep going. But I do want to mention one book real quick.
Yeah.
I know she mentioned the book. If you're looking for a book out there, the kind of one of the other books that Christy read was The Wild Goose Chase by Patterson. Great book. Really talks about reclaiming the adventure of pursuing God. And you know, in that book, they have sayings like he talked about like irresponsible responsibilities. Like there's things that we're responsible at and we're doing really good. But is it exactly what God's called us to do with
right.
our time?
Right. Today?
So be willing to follow the Spirit of God in a way that it always doesn't make sense to everybody. But you're doing exactly what he's telling you to do. And I think out of just making it a habit of just listening to the Spirit of God daily, then that helps. Because ultimately, I can't be a person who loves mercy just because I'm a nice guy. I need the Spirit of God every single day. Like, Holy Spirit, like, I get up like I did 15 years ago when I cried out to him. I get up in the morning. I said, I need you, Lord. Mighty hand. And because I left to myself, I'm going to go do my own thing, go my own route. And so... Yeah.
Thanks, Jason. And I love that you said that because I think the same way that you asked him at the beginning of your journey is the same way that you're asking him now. And I think sometimes we lose that because it's been years or because we've been walking with the Lord, but asking God the same exact way that we did when we first desired him. So thank you, Jason, so much for sharing your story. I love talking with you. I'll see you tomorrow at work. but thanks for being on our podcast and sharing with our listeners.
Hey, thank you for giving me the chance to share.
Thank you. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening today. I hope you were encouraged as much as I was. I still, when I see Jason at work, I'm like, I just don't even understand how you were that other person. I just, it's almost unfathomable to me, quite honestly. And I think that's the beautiful thing is that God truly can change anyone. I also think it helps us understand what Jason talked about is that we get an opportunity every single day to spread God's love on others, to spread his light. And I think that's my Beloved quick tip for this week is how do we do that? How do we create space in our life to shine God's light? And if you want to know more about that, I actually did a oneer. That's what I call it when I just talk. I don't have anyone I'm talking to. I'm just talking about a specific tip or something that has challenged me lately or inspired me. A couple weeks ago, I did one on how we can create space, how we can ask God to show us people who need his light shine on them and not be so busy that we miss those divine interruptions. Thank you all for being on this journey with us and being love and doing good in your communities. We'll see you next week.